right, 5, 4.
Don't rush me.
3.
No, do not rush me. All right, everybody, welcome back to Say Your Name and Spell It. I'm Zach Garrett.
And I'm Omar Delgado, and we have a very special episode for you this month.
That's right. But before we get started, tell me about last month with Sherry. Wasn't that a great episode?
Great. I mean, if you're not pumped for convention at this point, I mean, what else do we got to do?
That's right. And also, if you're not following the STN Sherry page on Instagram,
Dancing
you
Sherry.
Are missing out. A lot of FOMO happening if you're not following STN Sherry.
Yeah. If you're going to the convention for the first time, forget contests, forget the breakout sessions. The best part of that whole convention is watching Sherry dance in front of the entire nation. That's me. I mean, why would you go for any other reason?
Well, speaking about getting ready for convention, we've been practicing on our Saturdays Crazy Eights.
Yeah? What a coincidence.
That's weird. I feel like I saw somebody that looked like you the other weekend. I'm not really sure. Was that you?
Did I spend 8 hours with your team helping you
That's
prepare?
Wild. We appreciate your assistance in helping Gulliver build a nationally award-winning program.
I hope you're getting better.
Well, we are. And it's really fun to see the students work together and finally find that gel. And we were really excited that we met our deadline this last
practice. You did it. You put a great show together, man. You got a great team over there. I'm excited to see how they do. You're doing the morning show, right?
For Crazy That's Eight? Right. That's right. So I guess we're not directly competing against you, but just look out. One or two more years, we're going to
Let's go, man.
Be right behind you.
Let's go.
So tell me about your wife, because she was also practicing on Saturdays.
My wife has had 2 practices already. She's going to have her 3rd one this upcoming weekend. I go with her because I'm giving her guidance. But for a bunch of middle schoolers, it's very different than high school. Let me tell you, high school kids, you got to be, wary of certain things they're saying or doing. Middle school kids, you just got to, it's like herding cats. all right, kids, come on. We're all going to do this together now, It's a very different experience, but I'm proud of her. She's trying really hard. She's built a pretty good program. I'm excited to see how they do.
Well, her shows look great so far. So pass that along if you could.
I will tell her. She listens, so you just told her yourself. So.
Oh, wonderful. That's Hi, great. Natasha. How you doing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited. We have 2 special guests with us today.
Yes, we do.
That's right. So each of us brought a student
to the
podcast because we wanted to give teachers and students also a perspective on what it's like to attend this convention.
Absolutely.
Or prepare for the convention as a student.
It's different perspectives, man. I've been there for a while. You've only done a couple, handful. Our students are pretty new to this. So let's introduce them.
That's right. So we'll start with mine.
Hi, I'm Emily Santini. I'm a sophomore right now, and I'm the executive producer of the Raider 305 show, which is our monthly show at Gulliver. I've been doing video editing for a long time, but I joined the program in 8th grade.
That's awesome. Congratulations. That's Welcome Thank to you. The podcast.
Yes.
And I have my boy here.
Hi, I'm Sebastian Broach. I'm the executive producer of our monthly show, The Voyage. I'm a junior at Christopher Columbus High School, and I've been doing this since my sophomore year. This is going to be my 2nd STN.
That's exciting.
Good times.
We've got some great people here today, don't we?
Oh, man. I'm excited to hear your perspective. Emily, you've never been.
No,
this is your
never.
So, Broach, this is your 2nd STN?
This is going to be my 2nd STN.
Awesome, man. As a junior 2nd STN, this is great. So, Emily, I have a question. What are you most excited for?
I think I'm most excited to see everyone else that we're also competing with.
Right.
Because every time we win something or we lose something, we always see who placed as well. But we never get to see the actual faces. I mean, this time we get to meet the people, see how they work.
Well, that's the networking part of Student Television Network. And it's amazing because you're going to see that if you make genuine connections and you exchange information with people, the people that you meet at this convention as a sophomore might be your bosses in 7 years. Or you might be their boss in 7 years. Or you might be coworkers, because I've seen it happen. Broach, tell me, what are you most excited about?
Well, I'm just excited to see all my friends from last year. After being there at STN, I was virtual my freshman year and sophomore year in class. So being able to go to California and meet so many people from across the nation, that's just really what, excites me the most, I guess.
Have you stayed in contact with a lot of people from around the country from last year's convention?
Yeah, I have a couple friends at Doral. I have some friends up in Broward, I really stick to South Florida, but I've met some other kids.
Well, you can expand this year.
Yeah.
Expand the network.
Yeah. I have some friends at Whitney in California. I'm not going to say his name.
Well, we do have one.
I'm not saying his name.
Actually, I think I forgot his name.
Okay, good.
But we have a great friend in South Carolina, Karin.
Well,
Karin. She's amazing.
She's amazing.
That's right.
That's the self-proclaimed STN mom. She's the best.
Well, let me back up just a second, Amelie, if we could. You started competing in STN last year. Is that right?
Well, really in 8th grade.
8th grade? Okay,
yeah.
Tell us about that. What did you do?
Well, in 8th grade, I won first place for an STN feature package.
Okay. Do you remember what contest that was for? Was that like in the fall or the spring?
I think it was fall.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly.
Probably fall nationals.
Yeah. I remember I was doing like a video about the musical I was in.
Cool.
And I remember it actually took a long time. And at one point I was like, is it even worth it? And it was the first time I ever like won something. And I was like, yeah, it's definitely worth it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So was like that experience, that was your first time competing in STM. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what was it like getting started with that contest? Like what was going through your mind? Like, I want to share that with people. Cause like that's where the magic starts when the contest happens. So just talk to us a little bit about like when you started that and then when you turned it in, like what was that like?
I mean, at first, especially with the musical, I didn't really know how it was going to look in the end because we filmed over like a month period because we had to film like different parts of the musical exactly. And then we had to film the show. And I was actually in the musical myself, so I got to like,
so you're
I knew
putting double duty, huh?
I knew what they were gonna do and everything. And I actually did the idea of a musical because, like, this was like COVID year kind of. So we actually did the musicals with masks, but it was clear masks. But it was a musical, so you have to sing, and that was like really hard to sing.
Right.
So I wanted to like talk about that in the video, and I was like, yes, I'll just do that through the feature. And then I was able to portray that, which was really cool. And I remember everyone in the musical was like super excited to see it because it was like a struggle that was so unique to the time. Yeah. I don't think it's ever gonna happen again. Everyone had to sing in like clear masks.
From God's ears, please.
Yeah, so it was really cool. I don't know, seeing the end product.
Well, congratulations on that. I'm sure you're gonna have a lot more awards coming your way in the next 2 or 3 years.
Thank you.
So was that was like a 5-day contest, or was it just submit your best work from?
That was submit your best.
Okay,
work.
So it was fall nationals. Yeah. So Sebastian, tell us, do you remember your first STN contest?
Well, my first STN contest was challenge. We did a news package, and it was a team full of sophomores. We were all very inexperienced because we had all joined really late. But overall, I think that's really where I started learning how to really get better at what I do.
I remember that. That's the one you did about the food industry, right?
Food shortage, yeah.
Yeah.
It taught me a lot about research and how to tell a story properly. And, I mean, overall, I just bonded a lot with the people from my grade, and it was just a really good experience.
It was awesome. I remember that package. I'm proud of you guys for that. So being a veteran of STN, I would like to say that I'm excited about seeing all of our friends, like Ben, of course.
Oh, is that his name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Karin, Jennifer. You know, I got a bunch of friends. I see the Miami teachers all the time, but I don't get to see Ben all the time. We FaceTime each other. We talk. But it's always nice to see him over there because even though Ben's one of the best programs in the country and I respect him like crazy and we compete against each other, every time I'm around him, it's like we haven't missed a beat, you know? As a teacher side, the networking part is awesome, you know? I even convinced his teacher once to move down to Miami from Georgia. It's pretty amazing.
You know, what an experience that must have been for that individual.
I mean, living in Miami is awesome.
I think he has great hair, too. also, I do want to say, like, it's like a family reunion.
It is.
Almost like when you go to this convention. And so that'll transition us into our prep for convention. So we'll start with Amelie. Mm-hmm. This is your first year going to an STN convention.
Yeah.
What's it been like preparing for that experience? Like, what are some thoughts that have gone through your head? And, like, what makes you feel ready to go?
When I think about the convention, it's really scary but exciting at the same time. Because, I mean, we have 8 hours to do a whole show. I mean, I've never done that before. And I know that everyone I'm with has also never done that before. And the first practice we did, I remember we didn't finish.
Yep.
And I remember my group especially, like, we had a lot of trouble that day. And I remember just being like, oh, my God, like, when we go, like, we're not going to be able to finish. But then, like, we practiced more, and then the second time we did it, we were actually able to finish. But not just finish, like, we did a good job. Like, it was good quality.
Did.
And I remember, like, when we actually finished and we were watching it, I remember feeling like, oh, my God, like, we actually have a chance to doing this. So at the same time, it's scary. I feel like the more that you practice it, and our practices especially, have been, I don't know, like, they give hope, you know? It's like, it's a way for us to not, because as a teacher, you tell us, oh, we're going to be able to do this. But as a student, sometimes we don't really, like, believe you, right? Because it's such a scary, like, it's such a daunting experience. So I think being able to finish and seeing the work we did and actually doing it in 8 hours, I think that was, like, a push. It's like, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this well.
For sure you're going to do it well. And I saw that product. It was really good. But I'll tell you this. Win, lose, or draw, when you look back at this experience and you decide to do this again next year, the convention is going to be a small part of everything you remember. Because those Saturdays you gave up and those practices, you're going to be talking about the memories of things that happened for years to come. Broch, am I right there? Like,
yeah, I mean, my first practice, a lot of the reasons that I felt so nervous was just the time. You know, you feel like you're in a crunch, and it's just, you know, being under so much pressure with some of the people that you're closest with, it really makes you guys bond together. So I feel like the more you guys practice together, you know, the closer you get because you're put under that pressure.
Well, me hearing like them always talking, I don't hear. I mean, they talk about convention, obviously, but they're always talking about, man, I can't believe that happened at this last practice, or that was such a funny moment when this person did that. And I really believe that that's when your program becomes a family. Like those practices and going through that and thinking there's no way we can do this, and then actually doing it, and then going from actually doing it to producing something amazing. And then actually going from producing something amazing to producing something that might actually place, that process, that emotional roller coaster is worth
right.
every single piece of sweat, yeah. of work equity you have, everything. It's worth it.
Well, let's ask the students, what do you think just about the practices specifically? Like, how do you think that helps you, and like, why do you think it's important that we do that?
It's two things, really. I think it's the mindset, and I think it's the skill. Because, I mean, 8 hours, that's not a lot. And, like, we'd never done that. It's a skill you have to yep. be able to acquire for you to be able to plan everything, you know, actually finish in time. But also the mindset, because you have to believe that you're going to be able to finish. I mean, 8 hours, it doesn't sound like a lot. But when you're actually in it, and if you actually, you know, are organized and you do everything, like, in time, like, you can do it. Like, you can finish in time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think it's those two things.
I know your experiences are different because you're starting off, but we've done this for a while. So, why don't you talk about your experience in Crazy Eights and how you feel when we're practicing?
Well, me coming in, you know, I already had people that had done this before me, you know, the juniors, the seniors at the time. So, I was pretty nervous myself at my first SDM practice. I was pretty lost. But overall, learning from people who had already done it before, I was able to, you know, play my role in what I had to do. But yeah, it's just, you know, spending those Saturdays with like all your friends, and it just really, like, you know, it calms the stress a little bit of it.
Yeah, when it actually happens, when you're there and that prompt drops, I tell my kids this. I'm gonna tell the nation one of my speeches. Right.
Says this every year.
Every year, I'm gonna tell. Okay. That prompt is going to drop.
Grab some popcorn, first of all.
That prompt is going to drop, and we don't know what time. Sometimes they release it a little bit early. Sometimes they release it right at the release time, whatever. And your heart's going to drop because you're going to be like, there's no way we could do this. It's impossible. Everybody out there, when that prompt drops, let the fear come in for 5 seconds. And just count in your head. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. When you're done counting, that fear is going to be gone. If you were prepared for that moment, that fear will be gone and your brain will start activating on what do we do from this point on. If you do that, you're going to see a sense of calm come over you and you're going to be ready to go. But that only comes if you're prepared. Practice makes perfect, okay? Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. I tell everyone this. If you're planning on just going over there and going, yeah, we'll wing it, we'll figure it out, which I know schools have done, okay? You're not putting yourself in the best position to make your team a family, to succeed at convention, to succeed in anything, right? If you're just trying to wing it, listen, you got time. There's 27 days until we leave from this moment, right? We have two left, Sebastian? Two practices left. We've already practiced twice as a team. We got two more left, and God knows how many individual, like the general contest practices you guys still have. I know you've been doing enough, but like, when they get over there, I know my team is ready to go. So don't get nervous. Just let it come in. But you're going to have gone through this, and you're going to see the progression. Get ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, besides putting together, you know, besides refining your skills with those practices, I mean, you can't really put together an 8-hour show by yourself. You know, you need your teammates and everything. So those practices, along with adding skill to it, it also makes you guys bond together, work together as a team better, know what you have to work on. So I feel like that's what the best part of practice
yes.
is, you know, just bonding.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you something, and you can both answer. If you could rewind back to your first Crazy Eight practice, which for you was a few months ago, and for you, I don't know how long.
A year and a half ago.
What would you tell yourself before the prompt drops?
Well, can I be honest with you?
Please.
I didn't know what the prompt was when it dropped.
Wait, hold on. Can you tell us about that just for a second?
Okay.
We need to unpack that.
This was when I first joined the SDN team, And going into the practice, I was pretty lost. I just knew I had to show up and I had to bring breakfast. And
what was breakfast, by the way?
Probably donuts. That's what they always bring.
Well, I brought croquetas.
Oh, so, classic.
Yeah.
Oh, South Florida staple.
That's right.
So I got there and I was in a group with some seniors. This was my sophomore year. And the prom dropped and they just started saying stories. And I was really confused because I had no idea what they were talking about. And they were like, okay, we're going to go do this. And I'm like, we're going to go do what? Like, I had no idea what I was doing. So I got in a car and we just went to go do the story. And I did it. And I had no idea what was happening. And I still don't know the prompt to this day.
If you know Sebastian, this doesn't surprise you at all. This is like literally how he walks through life. Like, we're competing today? I'm going to call him the day we're leaving to California. He's like, today? Hold on, let me pack. Like, that's how it's going to work.
That happened to me.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
He texted, we're a week away from STN. And I'm like, we're what?
This is, yeah.
So that's why you put the countdown clock in.
Well, yeah, I have the countdown clock. I count down. I wake him up at 5 in the morning with a text. 27 days left. 26 days left. I just let them know. So they have an idea. Internally, even if they don't know, they know.
Yeah. I think I sent a gift to my team that first practice, and it was like a guy in a suit with a bathrobe over it. It's like, good morning, rise and shine. We got this. We're ready to go. Because I was like up all the night. I was like, we're ready.
Right.
We're going to get
it. Oh, yeah, I remember. I was like, it's 6 in the morning.
Oh,
like,
yeah, we're ready. I was listen, game time. So let's you rewind and go back. What would you tell yourself?
I think bounce off ideas. Because when you told us the prompt, when it dropped, I remember, like, not just me, like everyone, we were like, okay, what do we do now? Like, we were just, like, thinking. And I remember it was something like the life in Miami.
It's like, it was city living.
And city living. And we were in Key Biscayne.
And Delgado chose that prompt for y'all, by the way.
Yeah, we all agreed that it was not a good prompt. We're like, oh, like, what are we going to do? This is not fit Key Biscayne. So.
Well, listen, you have to understand something. The prompt is not going to fit what you want it to fit.
So that was actually something we learned, yeah. So we're like, okay, how do we make it fit, right? So I remember we were like, okay, bridge. Like, beach to the, I remember, like, so many, like, funky ideas. But I think just the bouncing of ideas is what kind of helped us. But I think we took a while to start bouncing off ideas. I think at first we were just kind of shocked. We were like, city living? So, yeah, I think just bouncing off ideas first to just try to get, like, the bad ideas out of the way and then get the good ones would have made us start earlier because that was also a problem we had. We started too late. We started, like, 2 hours after, I think.
So you have to tell the story about what happened after you filmed your segment.
Oh, my God.
At the bridge.
Okay, so what happened was we were going to film on the bridge, Key Biscayne Bridge. But so we were coming from Key Biscayne to, like, go to the bridge. Like, so we were going the opposite way as if you were. So I find out, because I'm the one driving, find out that you have to go outside through the toll again to go to the bridge. So I do that, and we're like, oh, let's just go to the first parking lot, cross the bridge, and then walk back. Turns out the bridge is really long. It's extremely long. And it took us an hour to cross it. So it was really, I think it was like 3 p.m. by the time we finished crossing it.
It sure was. I have the call receipt.
I remember.
You parked at Hobie Beach and walked across the bridge.
Yeah.
Well, that's where they filmed their segment. They went all the way over to their side, and then they looked at their watch, and they were like, oh, deadline's in 2 hours.
Yeah.
So
and they needed a ride.
That. You gotta know your area. before you start filming.
And remember I texted the group chat, I was like, help, we're stranded. And I remember people like actually thought we were actually stranded. Right. They were like actually panicking. I'm like, no, we're just like in the other side of the bridge. And I called my security, I'm like, hey, like, we need help. Like, we're on the other side of the bridge. He's like, he didn't really get it. So he went, and then he like went in where like I parked my car. And then he was like about to go pick us up, but I was like, yo, you're the wrong way. And then he was like, he left, but he couldn't go back to the highway. So he had to like go out, pass the toll again, went to pick us up. And I was like, hey, listen, like,
let me just tell you, popular opinion, the Key Biscayne tolls are highway robbery at its finest. Yes. I had to go through the toll twice to get to the right side of the bridge.
Yeah.
And I don't live here. Well, I guess I do now. But I didn't grow up here, so I didn't know like the area and like trying to figure it all out. And that was all wonderful 2 hours before deadline.
Well, this is great that this happened because I always like to get to convention either a day or 2 days before Crazy 8. And one of the reasons why is because I like to walk the neighborhood around the hotel. And why do I do that? Because if you walk the neighborhood around the hotel with a camera and you set it up and you just start filming random stuff, you will know for the next day if police or security will come and kick you out of these areas. Which the reason I found out about this, because it was in 2015, we were in San Diego and my kids wanted to do a story on a skate park. And they're like, I saw a skate park the day before. This is great. And they went over there. And within 3 seconds of them setting up everything, they got kicked out. So we wasted a good hour and a half of our story on that. And that's pretty much what happened to you. You realize that there's certain things you can't film. You might have the greatest story on earth, but if you can't execute it, it's pointless. Stories that are good news stories might not be good news stories for Crazy 8. Just because of that's part of the challenge. It's the time restraint. So you have to know your area. You got to practice these things. You got to just test them out to see what's going to happen when you do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the approach is a little different, like from teaching it in a class to also doing it in a contest. And I just remember that day being a string of fail forward experiences because, yes, another team got kicked out of Brickell City Center trying to do a commercial. And that was fun. And that was like happening right at the same time.
There you go.
And so it was like, we really learned that day. It was a great learning experience.
But look, within 2 weeks, you went from that to finishing your first Crazy 8.
Yeah, that's big.
And now you got your next one coming up and, you know, see what happens. Bro, let me ask you. I know we don't have to tell everyone how I teach. So let's keep that on the down low, okay? But how intense are our Crazy 8? Like, I try to give you guys very difficult prompts. I try to turn down your first idea. I tell them, your first idea, just grab it and throw it away. Like, I want the best story you could possibly do. How would you describe that?
It's just 8 hours of pure stress. I mean, I make sure I bring ibuprofen when I want to practice. You got to put yourself in situations like this because you got to prepare for the worst. Because if you're in California, in some place that, you know, you've never been in before, or some place that you don't have much experience in, you got to put yourself in the worst situations at home. That way, when you're somewhere that, you know, you're not experienced with, you can be prepared for situations like this or know what to do. And like,
it really is. It's just putting yourself in these situations and getting better from it. Yeah.
So the reason we do this podcast, besides trying to get famous, is we try to help teachers build programs like this right at their schools. And so would you say that doing a contest like this where it's high pressure, is that like valuable to your learning experiences?
Absolutely.
100%. How so? Why? Tell me.
Our whole lives are around time management, right? You have ACT, you have tests. And I'm from Brazil. And in Brazil, that wasn't a big deal at all. Like, we didn't have tests and we didn't have time thing.
Right.
And it was because I was like in lower school. But when I got here, that was actually something I struggled with a lot. And I realized how it's a skill that you really have to practice a lot. And for something that's like 8 hours, right? And it's a lot you have to do in those 8 hours. Yep. I mean, you can't do it without practice at all.
Yeah, for me, it's the same way. You know, I moved from Costa Rica and it's the same way. You know, there's not as much time management as there is over there. So, I mean, even if you don't want to be a journalist when you grow up, whether you want to be an engineer, an architect, whatever it is, you know, being under situations like that and learning how to manage your time, it really, you know, it's a skill that's going to serve you for whatever
you want
to do.
I'm so glad you
said
that.
Yeah, it's a skill for life.
Yeah. Because I literally tell everyone, they're like, oh, I'm going to be a journalist. I'm like, you could do whatever you want. The skills you're learning here, you can apply to anything you want when you get older, and it's going to help you. It's going to help you.
You're just
going
to know how to use a camera.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, with today's day and age, that's a huge benefit. All right, moving on from the contest. Let me ask you guys another question. Do you guys know anything else that happens at STN? I mean, I know. Well, not even you, because last year was kind of like a limited.
Yeah, it's a little different this year.
Well, the other day he told us that people bring flags. So
people bring flags?
Yes.
So we were like planning that.
People have chants?
Oh.
Yes.
We have a chant.
We have a chant. Makes no sense whatsoever.
Do it right now?
No. It's too loud for the mic.
It's too loud for the mic. It's
we can turn down the gain. I mean, we're
it's
ready.
Something ooga ooga ooga. I don't know.
It's tribal noises.
Yeah, it's a bunch of it's great. But I mean, everyone, and you see teams being developed, right? But this year, what I'm really looking forward to seeing the kids, because I don't think we've done this since Nashville in 2017 or 2018, is they're bringing back the STN social, the party.
And, oh yeah, we heard about that.
Yeah, and you guys, after all the contests are done, the night before the award ceremony, they're going to have, it's called, it's a themed contest.
It's decades.
Decades.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so you can pick any decade you want, 80s, 90s, 70s, and co-dress, and you just mingle, have fun. There's a DJ. It's going to be outside in this place called The Cove, where there's like ping pong tables and air hockey tables.
Yeah, a lot of yard games and
the networking part of student television network.
Yeah, and you get to meet new people, new friends, you know, from across the country. I'm really excited to see all the kids in a non-competitive area just hanging out and being kids. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that's a huge – the days I get the most excited for is the day we leave, mostly because I don't like flying. I'm a bad flyer. But I'm excited, but I'm nervous, right? So that's the day – that day. And I also like the night before because you have that – you know, like that knot in your chest about the next day for the contest, the award ceremony. But last year it was just like we were kind of just like waiting, and I was like, right. Oh my, I can't wait till it opens up.
Well, you know, and that's part of the magic, by the way, yeah. Just of STN. I mean, I know we talk about contest a lot, and some might call us crazy because that's all we're going to do is compete. But like I remember specifically last year in the hotel, like when everything was done,
yep.
We were hanging out in the lobby,
yep.
And kids were just running around, and there was the pool and hot tub, and it was like February in Long Beach, cold, yep. Outside, and like all the kids are like jammed in the hot, right. Tub, like just trying to hang out and like relax, and like they're just it's just sort of a relaxing period where they get to just meet other people and talk.
And
just,
a lot of the times it's the first time kids are away from parents. They're like on their, right. Own, trying to be young adults. We're not telling you to go crazy. Be responsible, obviously, but you know, enjoy the fact that you are going to be held to a certain standard and you're going to be treated like an adult for the first time. And that's a cool experience. The first time that you're doing something on your own, like, it's fun.
It's a responsibility that comes with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys know better. Let's just say Columbus might have a curfew that's an hour before Student Television Network's curfew.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand completely. Yeah. Okay, so wrapping up.
Yep.
I think this has been a great podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah, we should bring in students more often.
For sure.
It makes us sound better, honestly.
It's not that hard, let's be honest.
So what are some of your, let's go around and just talk about closing thoughts.
Cool.
Like what are some things that
you're looking forward to?
But also like what would you tell, I want to know this too, what would you tell like a new teacher that's trying to build a brand new program maybe?
That's a great one.
And
yeah.
And like if you could have just 5 minutes with them and they're asking you like what should we do first? You know, how can we get started? You know, they have some of the equipment, they're already kind of ready, but like they're trying to build that team culture. What are some of the things they should start doing? And I'm asking you this because what's most valuable to students when we're trying to build these programs? So take a moment to think about that and then any closing thoughts you have about what you're looking forward to with STN.
Well, to be honest, the first thing I would ask them, well, tell them, is probably like don't be scared to fail, because like your first time, you can't expect to go in and do as best you would as if you had experience. So the only way to learn from this and to get better at it is just experience going in there, not placing maybe, but you know, you learn a lot and it's a great experience. I mean, STN. It was 5 days, and to this day is one of the best experiences I've had in my life.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, we actually had a new teacher
this year. Oh, yes, nice to meet you. Hello.
Yeah, so I remember when the year started, it wasn't just you that was new. It was a lot of people in the program, because the program last year was not as big, and it was a lot of, seniors, and they left. And then, so this year we had a new teacher, a new studio, and a lot of new people. And it was kind of like awkward at first. I mean, we didn't really know anybody. And I remember like the first like icebreaker was like so awkward. But like now that we've had so many like practices, like we know each other more. And coincidentally, like two of our practices had people's birthdays in it. So we were able to celebrate those. Like, yeah, it was like really cool. So I think getting to know the people, doing as many experiences, like in school, yes, but also outside of school. Because you get to meet like a different side of people outside, yep. of school. That I think that's what creates like a good base for,
yeah,
the competition.
It's a family.
Yeah,
you're,
you have to create the
connections. Your STN family.
I agree with you. Yeah. I met my best friend through CCNN.
You did. And it drives me crazy every day. Well, Alexis, I love you.
Is that, yeah, I was about hearing, to say, yeah. It's Alexis. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
So as a teacher, you know, I know this isn't at all your first STN or yours. So, you know, the more do you do it, does it ever get less exciting, or do you ever get like less nervous the more you do it?
You want to answer first? I know what I'm going to say.
So for me, this is my third STN,
right?
And I'm even more excited than when I first started. And it's I think part of that comes with just being at a new school, but also like when you do it for like the first few times, like you're just trying to learn the ropes and you're trying to figure out what to do and how to get the most out of the experience. And so now that we're going back, like I feel like I'm ready and I'm really excited to sort of take it on and refine some things that didn't work last time and focus on the things that did. And then like that's why, you know, we brought the practices this year and like we're really trying to like get ready and prepare.
Right.
But no, the excitement is bigger than ever.
So I, you know, I'm the older gentleman in this table, right?
Just by a few years.
I was at one point in my life an athlete. I played basketball and, you know, I played in some pretty big games. And I remember always when I finished playing high school basketball, I was like, I'm never going to experience this again. I'm never going to have that experience, right? So when I first came back to Columbus, I was a basketball coach. And we played in some pretty big games. And coaching, it was good, but it wasn't the same experience. When I started doing STN, I felt that for the first time since I was a teenager. And it was an amazing, like, I was like, wow. And I love it. And I think I'm addicted to it. It's pretty bad. I mean, I know people have their opinions about the way I do things and how I am. But I'm a very passionate person, and I get excited very easily to the point that, and Sebastian can probably vouch for me on this, when it gets to the second semester, I start waking up in the middle of the night because, like, I start thinking, oh, I have a good idea for a story. And I take my phone out and I start writing ideas down. And at 5 in the morning, these guys are getting text messages.
It'll be 2 in the morning and we're getting links saying, this is an Emmy.
This is a great story. This is awesome. Because I'm just thinking about it all the time. And it builds up. Like, right now, we're 27 days out. I'm feeling it. Like I know it. I'm falling asleep a little bit earlier, and then I'm waking up even earlier, and I'm by myself in the middle of the night, walking my house, trying to exercise, just get this. So yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
And this is what number STN for you?
I started, my first one was in 2014 in Orlando. So this is year 9. This is year 9.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I did it when it was a Sweet 16.
Last year. Oh, the Sweet 16 contest.
Yeah, it used to be 16-hour contest, guys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was recorded on tapes, not on digital. So you had to like actually get the tapes, plug them in.
Wait, did you say 9 years or 19 years?
9. Come on, man. Come on. Why you got to do that?
It was like tapes. I was like, I don't know. I feel like we were still using SD cards tapes about 9 years ago. No?
I remember 2014 was the last year we did Sweet 16, and 2015 was Crazy 8. And when they announced that I was going to be Crazy 8, everyone was like, oh, no. And I was like, yeah.
It was Sweet 16 in 2021 as well, right?
No, it was going. I think they were talking about it because it was convention, but they left it as a Crazy 8.
Well, that was because it was virtual, and they were trying to accommodate for all the time zones.
Yeah, the East Coast started like at 1, and then Hawaii started like at 7 in the morning, something like that. That was a crazy, crazy one.
I have a question, actually.
Okay.
As a first-time student going to the competition, I talk about mindset a lot because it's something that, I mean, I experienced through a lot, and I know everyone else does as well. So how, as a teacher, do you approach the whole mindset thing? Because I know there are students that think they can't do it. I know there are students that think they can, so they don't practice, and then they're not actually prepared. So what's the balance?
What a great question.
I got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The balance is, don't think about whether you can or you can't, okay? You should just concentrate on getting better a little bit every day, okay? The silver bullet. Here's the key to my teaching, right? I know people think, oh, Columbus, they want to win. CCNN wants to win awards and stuff. I want to make my students better human beings at the end of the day. So that's the mindset I try to instill in them. And how? I either push some harder than others. I will be kinder to others, right? I will open my doors up for my house for some. I will do whatever it takes to let them feel that this is a place that's safe, this is a place for you to grow, and this is a place for you to find out who you are and to be the best version of yourself. If I can do that, an 8-hour contest is gonna seem simple. So that's what, maybe that's a veteran talk, right? But
that's pretty good.
That's what my whole goal is, and that's my whole mentality as being a teacher.
Well, and connected to that, for my answer would be to get to know your students first. And when I came in, they gave us sort of this empty room next to the studio. And I focused a lot on aesthetics, as you probably know.
Yeah.
I bought a few Philips Hue light strips.
We have lights that match the song.
We have lights that
match
the songs.
Yeah.
I painted a wall blue We put a new screen up on the wall, and we put a surround sound system. Like, I'm just putting, like, and these things, like, we, they were all part of, like, creating an experience. And in the beginning, I didn't talk about cameras.
Right.
I talked about, like, people and how we can work as a team. And I did that really awkward icebreaker, and I remember, because I remember doing that specific icebreaker where we were, like, racing, and then, like, I completely messed it up, and I was like, dang, oh,
I
well.
I fell.
Yeah.
I fell. We, like, were racing, and then I fell, and I remember I was like, I was like, I'm fine.
Right.
I'm fine.
Mr. Garrett was like, great, this is the shortest 10-year.
I was like, yeah, this is, like, a little boot camp we're trying to do, and then, like, I'm already
failing.
You guys
made a race as an icebreaker?
Yeah, it was stupid. I was just trying to, like, get people out of their shells, because, like, everybody walked in, and, like, it was just – It was really cold in the air. Like, I was just like, we need to warm this up a little bit. And then, like, I've tried to, like, prioritize, like, getting to know the individuals, and hopefully I've done that, and building sort of a team culture. And that was one of our first podcast episodes when we interviewed Karin, was about, like, as a teacher, especially building a program like this, you can't start with the content. You have to start with the person.
Yeah.
Just like we tell our students with building stories, you don't start with a story, start with the person. Absolutely. And you'll find your story. Because if not, like, we're expecting a lot of our students, right? This is not a math class or English class. And shout out to those teachers. I know it's hard to teach those subjects, but when the class is over, the class is done.
Over, yeah.
But for this, like, and I say it, and I jokingly say it, but I'm serious, like, this is a lifestyle that we chose to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I moved from Atlanta for this lifestyle, right? And we're traveling across the country for this lifestyle. We spend hours and hours and hours editing and filming packages and stories because we love this craft. We love telling stories.
Yep.
And so you got to think about that as a mindset. And then we, you know, I put in our Google Classroom, best is our standard. You know, you saw that. And that's, I can't take full credit for that. But I love that saying, because it's not about, like, beating people, even though I love when that happens. It'll happen soon with Gulliver to Columbus.
Uh-huh.
What it's really about is, like, chasing your best. So what does the best look like for you? For us this year, it's finishing by the deadline. It's also like getting to Long Beach. The first year we've done this, we're going to Long Beach. Even if it's going to be like some things don't meet deadlines or whatever.
Your perspective is going to change from this convention to next convention. It's going to change. Like, you're going to go, oh, man, what is this? I'll never forget my first one in Orlando that I was like, if I just knew what I don't know, what it's, you know? And then I got there and I knew it. And then preparing for the 2015 convention, it was completely different because I knew what I didn't know.
Well, that's the hardest thing about this teaching this craft.
Yeah.
Right? Because not only do we have to know how to teach, but we also have to know how to troubleshoot equipment. We have to know what equipment to buy. We have to know.
You have,
like,
to be IT, mechanic.
Right. IT, mechanic,
an
all
editor,
things,
audio technician.
A writer.
Yep.
And it's hard to wrap all that in. And I remember, like, I'm sure y'all joke about it, but, like, when we're in our contest practices or whatever in the studio, and, like, five people are calling my name and I'm like a squirrel. I'm like, I always turn my head and, like, I just, and it's like, it's hard to shift gears for me, but, like, I just, like, it's, like, that is so difficult to do, like, just, right? And so,
yeah,
like,
we always joke how he needs an assistant.
I really do, right? And it's like, it's because it's, you get called in,
right.
Many,
no, I know that.
Pulled
I know
in
that
many directions, and it's, it, but that's what's most fun.
I handle that a little bit differently.
We know how you handle it, right?
Give me a second! Stop telling him calling my name!
Well, yeah. I remember, because there are times, like, it's funny, because sometimes you have conversations with your students just with eyes, right? Just with the look. And I feel like we've had a few conversations, Amelie, because, like, I'll be helping you with something, and then somebody will call my name, and I'll look at you for a second, and you're like, you're really going to ditch me for a second?
I'm like,
right, full side eye.
Right.
And it's just like, but, you know, you got to, like, prioritize, like, what can I help them with, if it's a quick fix or if it's a longer fix. So, but, yeah, just talking to new teachers, this is all about just trying, failing forward, and
get your
and
first
reaching
one
out
your belt.
Right, and reaching out. And I'll tell you what, and Omar will probably agree with me, I've learned more about video production, teaching it, than I've ever done doing it. And I did it for 10 years I started teaching, and I didn't know half the stuff I knew.
It's
now
one of the main reasons, I'm also a history teacher, right? Side note. But it's one of the main reasons why at the end of every quarter I make them do podcasts, and I make them teach me what they learned. Because if you want to learn something, you got to be prepared to teach. Like, if you could teach something, that means you learned that subject. Mm-hmm. So if you got to spit it back out, you got to know what you're doing. So I really believe that teachers are probably the experts in a lot of these things, because we're teaching it day in and day out. It's funny. Funny how that works.
I learned the most when I became a counselor for our summer camp.
Oh, yes, you did.
I was teaching graphics when I barely knew graphics. And one of the kids came in and he made a super. And it was better than anything that I had ever done. And he was in eighth grade. And I had him teach me how to do it. And then from there, I just started like getting better.
It works. And don't have an ego. There's times that these kids come in and they're like, hey, I just learned how to do that. I'm like, come on. Show me. I don't know what you're talking about. Let's go. Because YouTube University is awesome. Let me tell you that. Oh, and these kids are on it all the time.
Oh, for sure. So any closing thoughts that you two have? And thank you so much for being here today, by the way.
This was
awesome. Anything you're looking forward to for the rest of the semester besides maybe STN?
I think excitement. Yeah. STN is like a push, you know? And then after STN, like, what's next?
That's right.
Well, we got a couple of other things down here in South Florida, but I will tell you this. I know after STN, like a huge weight is lifted off my shoulder, and it's just kind of like enjoying all the fruits of our labor, like because we've submitted to a bunch of things. We get, you know, at the end of the year, accolades for graduation, all that stuff, and it's just nice to see all my kids receive the attention that they deserve, right, in my opinion, especially here within the school. But it's more like a, and then summer starts.
Yes.
And then crazy people like us practice with our teams and we don't let them go on vacation. But we'll talk about that in the May podcast.
Well, get ready. So our next podcast will be in March, obviously. But Omar and I are going to try to do something
stupid,
a little unorthodox.
Stupid.
Yeah. We're going to bring our Zooms, our audio recorders, and we're going to try to interview teachers on the spot at the teacher mixer, which is during the student social.
And throughout
by the
convention
way.
Also.
And, yeah. Well, we might
walk around with a microphone and put a mic in your face.
Well, I'll let you do that. I'll be busy winning.
If you see us and you're out there and you've always wanted to say, hey, your podcast is terrible, you guys should stop doing that, you're going to have the opportunity to do that at Long Beach Convention Center.
You might. I'll delete the recording. But please find us, and we would love to just get a little soundbite from you about how excited you are. And then Omar and I will draw straws to see who edits that podcast, because that's going to be fun. Hey, I don't think it's going to be me.
All right. I'll have my one-year-old do it. How about that?
Okay.
I'll be editing with a crying baby in my ear.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining today. This has been Say Your Name and Spell It.
I hope you guys enjoy the last couple of days before we see each other in Long Beach.
That's right. See you then.
Bye.
Bye. Good luck.
Bye.